The Lord is good. Now, there was something that I was sharing. That was 2 weeks ago. I wanted to continue last Tuesday, but it now went the way it did. And for that reason, I didn't get into it again. So let me just share briefly for the next few minutes that we'll have before we close for today. Quickly, if you have your Bibles, then what I was trying to do was to raise a constant prayer point, which I want to challenge everybody concerning, so that you use it every day in your life to pray for somebody else. There's something that people say all the time when the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper that love you. You remember that this thing? And then people say it all the time. They will tell you that God was saying that you should pray for the peace of the one city, Jerusalem, that's somewhere the Palestinians and the Jews are fighting over all the time. And that if you pray for that city there, then God will bless you. And I don't have time to go into that again. But believe me, that is not true. Are you getting my point? It is not true. God was not saying you should go and start praying for that Jerusalem, for that piece of real estate that is there that people are contending over. If you want to pray for it, it is good, and it's for your own benefit, and it's for the benefit of the people, it's good. But that was not what God was concerned about. You must understand that all the promises of God are confirmed only in Christ Jesus. And when he's talking about Jerusalem, you must understand that the new Jerusalem is talking about the body of Christ. Are you getting my point? You can't be praying for the peace of the old Jerusalem and you expect the blessing of God of today to stick with you just because you misunderstood one scripture. There's an old Jerusalem and there is a new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem is the one that the Bible expects, that God expects you to pray for the peace of that city so that you will prosper as a result of that. And the new Jerusalem is the body of Christ. You must get that point very clear. I say it all the time. Some people think I don't like Jews. But no, I guess I love the truth. Let me just say this to you again. In Christ Jesus, everybody is welcome. Nobody, listen to this, nobody has an advantage over the other person in Christ Jesus. It is not right for you to come here and say, because I'm a natural Jew by heritage, you understand? I have something that the so-called Gentiles by natural heritage don't have. It is a fat lie. And that's what I try to insist upon all the time. If you can travel to Jerusalem physically and be blessed, you may as well go to Arundizogu. You also be blessed if there are Christians there. Are you getting my point? No, that's a matter of fact. What I'm saying, I mean it. If you're looking for pilgrimage to a holy land, better come to my house. All right? I will charge you gate fees. All the money you'll have... Take the dust, all right, at the foot, you know, as you enter my compound. Take it home. It's a blessed dust, all right? There is a blessing attached to praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And that is a matter of fact. There is a blessing. But what is the Jerusalem? That's the issue. There is a new Jerusalem, all right, that has descended from heaven. There is a new Jerusalem. That's the one you pray for its peace, not the old one. Do you get the point I'm making? And so, as believers, we must pray for the peace of this Jerusalem. And that is the body of Christ. We must seek its welfare. We must. And number one way by which we seek its welfare is by praying. That's what I began to, all right, share on. The prayer meeting before last week's zone. I wanted Christians to understand something. That we must take time out because, when Akuna was leading prayer just now, there was something she said which is so, I believe, was just the Holy Spirit. You know, talking about the importance of the body of Christ in things that's going on in this country current, in fact, in the world, why it's important that we pray for the body of Christ. I said that thing 2 weeks ago, that listen, there is no sin that will thrive in the world if the church disallows it. Did you hear what I said? There is none. There is no sin that will be entrenched, all right, have root, and continue to grow and germinate in the world if the church disagrees. None. Let's take our country, Nigeria, as an example. Corruption. If you like, make Nuhu Ribadu, the president, minister of justice, minister of the IG of police, make him whatever. Corruption will not end as long as you and I don't decide that it has to come to an end. And decision is not church decision, no. Just what I mean by just when you are praying. Then we'll go back to our normal businesses. And we say it is okay. You understand my point? And no, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, we have to, first of all, institutionalize it not in the world. You know, it's not, that's why I don't like when campaigns too much. You know, some campaigns are not necessary. You campaign to yourself. Do you understand? Once you are changed, there is a way. You know, I said something the other time, that how does salt affect things? How? Just by being present and being salt. It is not campaigning against bacteria. Any bacteria that comes near here today, we are going to eat it up. No. Just be salt and be present. That's all. Just be salt and be present. Those are the two things that salt needs to preserve things. Be salt and be present. How does light illuminate a place? Be light and be present. It's not this darkness you go see. When I begin shining now, you're in trouble. Guys, get ready. Move the darkness. No, just shine. Darkness will move away. Therefore, the main problem in any nation that God has planted his body is the church of Christ. So when you want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that's where you should lay your emphasis. You know, I was talking, and I don't know whether this is good, but so that you will know, so that you won't be impressed. You know, you go around town, every time you see posters. The one I saw the other day is, because you've seen posters like, Uncle, waiting, I do you. You've seen that? Coming out of the witch's pot. I saw that one last week. The one I saw today, somebody saying that my blood is bitter. That was another one. There are plenty, you know, Koboko night. You come with your Koboko to flog the devil. They are all forms of posters hanging out there. All kinds. That's a sign to you that people are thoroughly confused. Yes, no, that's all. That's all. Your blood is bitter. Who wants to drink it first? Who cares about it? And your blood is bitter. You must be a dead man. Normal blood is salty. Yes. If your own is bitter, something's wrong with you. You need deliverance. But of course, I understand the point. You are warning the witches. And the fellow who sent the picture to my to the brethren, he said that witches better go and buy honey when they won't begin circle. That guys are getting ready with bitter blood. Look, all of it is deception. If I don't want to be laughing anymore, I want to be getting angry. I won't begin vexed. You know, I told you, listen, if you want to be deceived, be following strange signs and wonders about. You know, you hear those things before, I used to laugh. You understand? I don't laugh anymore now because I realize that's a major problem in the body of Christ. See all those posters? They are the problem of corruption in Nigeria. People organize programs to make money. How much do you make from that program? He did his own program. He didn't share the money. I'm going to do my own. Let's go and preach in Enugu. They know give. They know they give offering. So go somewhere else. I'm serious. These are the kind of things that go on. I hear them, I laugh. But you know, earlier on today, I told myself I'm not going to be laughing again. I want to be getting angry. If I hear it, I won't laugh again. All these prophets of Baal who have come to church, I want to drive them back to the shrines. Let's know whether we are doing shrine or we are doing church. If you mistakenly name the name of Christ, you're in trouble. You had better believe him. If you don't believe him, I will personally kill you by my prayers. I will pray that God will strangle you while you are walking 12 noon. If you want to shout Amadio, I will leave you alone. Obatala, it doesn't concern me. If you say, Ogunlaka, are you? That's fine. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Those who understand what I'm saying. Do that one. I'm okay with it. But if you name the name Jesus and you're trying to deceive people, I will swear for you. I say, if you gather people to lie in the name of the Lord, you are not a Christian. You are shouting in the name of Jesus. That name of Jesus will show you his power. If I say it 4 or 5 times, every man will behave. In case you don't know it, I'm a man of God. Yes, I'm not joking. I vex for some things. If I vex for some things, I think Christians are too nice. Pray for mercy for who? If you don't fear God, I will not ask for mercy for you. I will ask God to disgrace you publicly at 12 noon. That is, you will stand like this, only you will strip yourself and start dancing naked. I'll say, yes, I did that one. Don't worry. You don't say, you know, tell you, are they called? You see, all these Ogboni people don't know court. Look. You know, you know what they call Oluo? Do you know what they call Oluo? You. Alaika? Abi Oluo. Oluo, every time you say Ogboni men gather, their head is called an Oluo.
I'm an Uluwo of Christianity. You know what they call Uluwo? Literally means the Lord of the cult, Oluwawo. So if I open the incantations of the Lord against you, you're dead meat. He said, kiss the son, lest he be angry. And you perish out of the way. And you know, I think it's time for Christians to start getting angry. Let's not laugh again. I'm telling you, listen, that's what Christians, I think we should get into that mood. All these nice niceties, don't do. If you want to serve Satan, you know, it's a free country. All right? There's freedom of religion. You say you're a Satan worshiper, honestly. You can live next door to me, it doesn't worry me. But if you not decide that you want to remove this title to Satanist and put Christian on it, you're looking for my trouble. Unless you're a real Christian. Don't ever forget the book of the incantations of the Lord. If I open it for a person, the person is in trouble. He said, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. It has reached the point, I think Christians should start getting angry. You should stop smiling. Now, this is what I'm saying like this. Because until the church, all right, becomes what it's supposed to be, this nation has no hope. That's why I'm talking like this, though. Nothing personal. Until pastors start handling the word of God with truth and integrity, the nation has no hope. I went to preach somewhere on Sunday. So the person who invited me, who was the one I was speaking with yesterday, he said, I know you are, that it's a Thanksgiving and harvest in their church, and that he knows I'm not comfortable talking about money. I said, me, just watch me. I told him, don't worry about me. As typical of me, I got up there. I preached on Thanksgiving, the different stages of the deliverance of Jonah, how Jonah was first delivered into the belly of the fish. And he was not giving thanks. And that thanksgiving now provoked his further deliverance. I preached that one. At the end, I told everybody, I said, your pastor says things I don't, I'm not comfortable talking about money. And that's what I mean. I said, he told me, he said, I'm not comfortable. I said, I am. What I'm not comfortable with, which I would never do, is to promise what God has not promised. That's where I'm going. I told him, no. I said, that's what I'm not comfortable with. I said many things that you have heard me say here. I said, look, you as a Christian, you must be a giver. If we are going to preach the gospel and it costs money, I am not going to go to Aleko Dangote to go and beg for money to preach the gospel of Christ. Let the mosque queue up there because he's a Muslim. Let the mosque queue up. I said, but for those of us Christians, lie, it is forbidden. I'm not going to write a letter to anybody because you are a chief, a politician, a rich man, and say, please, come and give us money to support the gospel. God forbid. There are things I have never done. I will not do it ever. As if I'm not going to do that. So where's money going to come from? From Christians. I expect them to... No, this was what I preached. I told them, look, I said, listen, if you give, if God gives back to you, fine. If he doesn't, be happy. No, you know me. That's my own gospel. I said, if you don't want to serve God, the gate is open. Go home. What I'm going to say is that I explained to I told my friend, I said, talking about money, I am very comfortable. What I'm not comfortable with is lying about money. It's telling people, I've come here today to bless you, when I actually came to raise money. That one is a lie. If I came to raise money, I'll go there and say, praise the Lord, today I've come to raise money. All right? Anybody who God has blessed and who wants to be, please come and give money. Will God give you money back? Well, if you are giving because of what he will give you, you can be sure you won't get anything. I'll tell you straight. But if you are going to give because you see a real thing that we are doing, you see that this money is going to be effective, you can be sure of one thing, there is abundant reward coming your way. Because the Bible says, he that gives to a prophet because he explained the motive is very important with God. And I need to emphasize something that I was going to say. That's what I was trying to explain that time. Quickly, open your Bible. Let's read this. Now, because we don't have all the time, all right, I'm just going to drop this and then we go home. But I want everybody to bear these things in mind. Don't be happy anymore. Don't laugh. I think the time has come for the son to be angry. Are you getting my point? So that people who are lying in the name of the Lord can perish out of the way. so that the truth, because if the church does not become what it is supposed to be, this nation has no hope. And this happens all the time. Listen, all you need to do is move around the world. You will realize that the typical black man it's an ancestral curse, generational trouble. Yes. I don't have to talk about it. Indiscipline, corruption, no selfishness, every man trying to defraud his neighbor. It is in the air. It's not normal. It's not normal. It's in the air. It's a force. It's a spiritual force. But my message is not about that. My message is that the only hope, all right, for turning it around is you and me. That is the only hope. And that is why I get angry when people handle the word of God sloppily or they start playing with it. Because this is a medicine for the trouble of generations of Africans. This is the medicine. This is the medicine. This is the thing that will cure their troubles. This is it. How will you like? Think about it. You have a tumor somewhere. They say it can be cured by surgery. All right? Then they say, where's the surgeon? He shows up. He's wearing his mechanic. He just came from mechanic shop workshop. So the cloth he wore there, he's still wearing it. And you're looking at him. Are you the one operating? He said, yes. So you expect to go and get ready. So when I was starting, say, I'm ready. And no gloves in his hand. He's doing like this. Scratching his head. Then he shakes somebody over half hour. And he collects a knife and he wants to cut you. What are you thinking? Or you see a pharmacist trying to prepare medicine for you to take. And it's sneezing into your drug. To dispense the tablet, the spoon falls down, he picks it, wipes on his trouser, and he continues. You go take him. Because it is the word of God, it's supposed to be handled more purely. Are you getting my point? Human treatment, they had no. Go and see what NAFDAC insists upon in a place where they compound drugs. You'll be surprised. Even if you're, that is, even the bacteria, when they look through the window, they say, I don't go that side. That's bacteria, go check. Why the place clean like this? One day in UNTH, they have this new cardiothoracic theater. I was looking for my CMD and the CMAC. So I called the CMAC. She said they were in the theater. So I said, okay, I'm coming there. No, I've not been there. That was my first time. As I began to approach, I now understood why Moses had to remove his shoes. Honestly. When I opened the door like this, you know, you come outside, look, is this a no-go? You look, it's a no-go now. Then you come outside, you look, it's a no, you shake your head like, Jesus is Lord. The place was, no exaggerating. You walk in, you look now, you see yourself. That's how clean the floor was. Because it's a new open heart theater. They are going to be opening people's hearts in there. Nobody, they're not fish out. Nobody wants trouble. Keep everything in. At least, to enter, I was feeling bad. Like, I was feeling bad. I quickly removed, of course, you have to remove your shoes anyway. Wear the shoe cover or foot cover. And I was walking literally with the fear of the Lord. No. Why I've told that story is that it was so clean. Why? They said germs cannot enter into people's hearts and chests after we open this thing. Let me tell you the truth. The word of God is supposed to be handled with greater purity. You don't pollute the word of God because you're angry with somebody or you need something. You have to handle that word purely. Why am I saying it? Because it's the medicine for the troubles of the society. That's why I said all of this, everything I've been saying. It's a medicine. If human beings will handle their medicines, their knives, the surgeon, you see the normal surgeon, when he wants to operate, you'll be surprised. They wash these hands like four times under running water. and is a human surgeon, using human knives, using human methods. Listen, if the surgeon washes his hands 4 times, you should wash your heart 10 times before you pick the word of God up, if you're a preacher. Because it is the cure for the problem of the society. There's something I should add to it after I've been talking about it, but I want to emphasize it. See, the problem in the church, or let me start like this. The church is the solution, all right, to the problems in the society. Because the pillar of truth is the light of the world. It is the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its savor, there's trouble. Are you getting my point? So the problem of the world, therefore, is whether the church is being the salt or being the light. I can say it to you categorically that in Nigeria, the problem of tribalism, the problem of corruption is a church problem. God has forgiven the world since. It is the church that has the problem. Take it from me. I don't have time to discuss it further. Now, the problem in the church, I said the problem of the world is the church, right? The problem in the church, where is it? Where is it from? And the problem, look, this is the answer. The problem in the church is from the pulpit. That's the way it works. What spoils things in the church is the kind of word being preached from here. That's it. No, quickly, open your Bibles. Let's read this. You see, no, I began this 2 weeks ago. Last week, we didn't develop it. I just shared briefly on something else. But quickly, open to Lamentations chapter 4. I want to explain something from there. I'm watching my time. We're not going to speak for too long because the time is really gone. Now, you're going to see that the problem in the church is a problem of the pulpit. Why am I saying this? So that you know how to pray. It's a school of prayer. We are learning how to pray, and we want these things to be part of our daily prayer lives. He said from verse 11, "The Lord has accomplished his wrath. He has poured out his fierce anger. He has kindled a fire in Zion, which has consumed its foundations. The kings of the earth did not believe, nor did any of the inhabitants of the world, that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem." Now, why did it happen? Notice verse 13. "Because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who have shed in her midst the blood of the righteous. They wandered blind in the streets. They were defiled with blood, so that no one could touch their garments." Let me just stop it because of time. I want to understand this. Jerusalem, Zion was destroyed with a kind of calamity that Jeremiah said the world did not know could happen. Why did it happen? He said, because of the sins of her prophets. I hope you are getting that point. Because of the iniquity of her priests. That is, the foundation of the priests, of the sin in the city, was because of the sin amongst the prophets and the sin amongst the priests. And that scripture, let's look, read it together. In Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah is the one speaking also. There's one we all know. He said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." You know that scripture? But what a lot of people don't read is that God was speaking specifically. Let's quickly read it. Quickly open to it. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. He talks about the problems from verse 5. "So you will stumble by day, prophets, and the prophets will also stumble with you by night. And I will destroy your mother." He was telling them. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." He said, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from what? From being my priests. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." You notice the emphasis is on the word priests. The emphasis is on the word priests. Now, we're reading somewhere, right? I said you should open somewhere else. Jeremiah chapter 2. Now, because of time, I'll just rush it.
He said, and I brought into a plentiful country to eat the, that's from verse 7, sorry, to eat the fruits thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you enter, you defile my land and made my heritage an abomination. Notice the next line. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. Now, let me give you King James rendering here. He said, the pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Are you seeing the foundation of the problems? It was the priests, they did not know the Lord. The shepherds, the leaders, the pastors, King James used the expression, also transgressed against the Lord. And the priests prophesied by wrong spirit. That the prophets prophesied by wrong spirit and walked after things that do not profit. That is, that was the foundation of the problem in the society. That's why Jesus looked at them at the time. He said they were like sheep without shepherd, and he had compassion on them. So he said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So he now said, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. Listen, there's a reason why I'm reading all of these things. I want us to bear this in mind so that we know how to pray. Because the sin in the country, amongst the people, white people that Jesus died for to redeem from the curse of Noah have not been redeemed in reality, is because the body that he placed in there to influence them with the salt, they're not doing their work. And the major reason why those ones are not doing their work is because the elders are prophesying wrongly. You have the leaders who don't know the Lord, don't know how to guide the people. So Jesus said this, you know, there's another one he said, Jeremiah chapter 3. He said, therefore, I will give you pastors after my heart who will feed you with knowledge and feed you with understanding. That is what God desired to do. 2 weeks ago, I explained something. I said, anything that God desires to do is what we are supposed to pray about. Therefore, let me challenge you with this. I will close in a few minutes. And that's the fact that you must listen. When you see all those funny posters, people who are, you know, everybody is a rabble-rouser these days. Most people do what pulls the crowd and generates income. Once I was invited to one big church, a denomination I love a lot because of the attitude towards the Word of God. So I was supposed to teach one. They have a major program in Onitsha, major, big, huge. So I was supposed to teach, I think, 2 or 3 sessions. I can't remember now. I think I taught 2 sessions anyway. So the fellow was like my guide and my host there in the big denomination, you know, but you have letters written to you by the bishop and all of that. But of course, I don't know the bishop. If I met him only once, one of those sessions. Just the people that say, look, these are the people, they call them seminars. They have like 12 different seminars. I mean, it's a major event. It's a major event, all right? They have 12 different seminars. I was supposed to take one of the seminars. And you the aim is that you teach the same thing a number of days so that the people who are attending can attend different seminars. You understand what I'm saying? Now you have 12 running at the same time. So if I attend now and Chris is teaching a class, I will not be able to get to the class, all right, that maybe Israel is teaching. So the idea is that you guys teach the same thing a number of times. So I'll choose like 3 or 4 and I go different sessions. So I thought it very beautiful. In fact, my class that day must have been over 200 people. You understand? And I was 1 out of 12. Okay? Some were larger than the others, of course, but that gives an idea of what was going on, all right? There are different places that people will teach. And I think I taught, I came back the following day, taught the same thing again. That's what they beg you to do. Just teach the same thing again and again. So different people will keep on coming. You'll be instructed that you take questions and all of that. Now, what I'm telling the gist is that he said that it was one of their previous bishops that started it. And that then, the seminars used to be twice a day. Now, this is where I'm going. That there were more seminars. And that, now listen to this. So the guy who was my guide and my host, you know, when I was moving around and talking, said that then the previous year, they found out that those seminars don't draw the crowd. Did you hear what I said? So that they now reduced it and increased the noise side of it. Let me put it like that. The Lord is good. Anyway, he said to me that this is the reason why they stopped it. That they reduced it. Because
they wanted something that, so, and I now see the program for night. All the breaking of curses, ancestral jinx, ancestral this, hereditary problems. Hi. I shook my head. I said, this one does not establish people. I told him. I said, this thing will die. All right? If you guys continue that trend, if you keep reducing the time that people have to be infused with the word and grounded, because that one, you will teach for quite some time, then questions and answers will begin. And then you return the next day, do it again. People were being grounded. I said, you are reducing it so somebody can be shouting and making people happy. He said, they wanted something that would draw the crowd. I said, Ross, this thing will soon die if you continue with that trend. I said, the man that began it had a vision. He had his reason. I said, stick with that reason. Stick with that vision. If people are established, are you getting my point? The church will grow. If they are not, if it grows, the growth is fake. The growth is fake. A friend of mine, the other day we were speaking, he talked to me, that, is he, essentially, he was discouraged. Why? He had done programs. He had spent money. Then one day, thought people were learning and all of that. So one day, now organized a special program. To his surprise, most people didn't see deliverance, breakthrough, emergency healing. He did not gather up to 10%. I'm not exaggerating. He had less than 10% of the crowd that came previously. He told me that he realized that he had been wasting time. He told me that, look, he's stopping all of that. Now he wants to spend more energy, more money. Or let them be few. Let him be infusing the word into the few. Then you know that his money is going somewhere good. You know, blown a few millions on a major program, you see a lot of crowd and you're happy. The next day, tell the crowd, let's discuss the word of God. The word disappeared. He said, no, this is not good. That's putting an end to it. I said to myself, very good for you. I said, good. I said, you know, the Holy Spirit is moving this man to the level where he's supposed to be. Now, what am I going to explain all of these things? If we are going to, listen, if you believe in the destiny of this country, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that God has redeemed the African from all his troubles, say amen.
Amen.
But those things that God has done for us, you know, he said to Abraham, he has to instruct his family in the way of the Lord. They have to learn how to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord might fulfill the promise that he has promised Abraham. That's it. So all these things we are saying, for it to manifest, there are certain levels that we must cross in dealing with righteousness, in dealing with justice. And the only way we can step into it, we are saying, is if the church, the body of Christ, becomes what it's supposed to be. Like I said earlier, time to get angry. All right? But not the anger. One of my friends that time, he came and met me for counsel. He's a minister. When I say friend, he's a minister. What was the counsel? He said that some people are arranging. Now listen to this. You're going to laugh. Okay, laugh first. All right. So I can ask you what I want to say. They've gone to gather police. Some of them are good Christians. No, they're all good Christians. Zealous men of God. Gather police, SSS, soldiers. They have Christian monks in the SSS, in the army. So they want to start arresting fake preachers. So they now called him so that they will bring him in. He's an authentic man of God. So now call him that he will join them. All the people that will be doing all kinds of wayo, all right? Go and sneak into your home and copy something. Come and use it as word of knowledge. All those kind of things. I want to start grabbing them. When he now called me, he said, what do I think? That is zealotry. What did I call it? Zealotry. Yes. God didn't call you to that. I told you, but that's not your work. Now, why did I tell this story? That's the mistake people make. That's not how to solve such problems. How do you solve such problems? It is simple. You solve it by prayer. That's what I'm talking about. You don't go and arrest anybody. It's not your duty. When God wants to arrest people, he knows how to arrest them. He knows how to arrest them. He knows how to arrest them. It is not your job and mine to physically just utter words in prayer. Those words will go out. You know, a Christian is not allowed to kill, shoot people. You know that. You're not allowed, I mean, unless you're a soldier. In physical battle. But this battle we're talking about, you are not allowed. They can't give you a gun. They say, this man, he's a sinner. He's going to commit more sin. Wow! So what was it? I just removed one sinner from the world. There was one man in America, I did it. He was campaigning severely against abortion. And there was an abortion clinic near his house. So one day, carried a gun, knocked on the door, put a gun to the doctor's chest and shot him. No, I'm not joking about it. I watched it on TV there when it happened live. And then when police came to his house, what happened? He said he has stopped abortion in that clinic. I'm serious. He told police that no more abortion there. That there's an end. He has put an end to abortion in that clinic. He didn't take the jury. In fact, his trial did not take 2 days. They sharp collected him, sharp tried him, sharp sentenced him to, I think, life imprisonment. You know, he now put all the Christians in trouble. They are now making like, look at the Christians. All the Christians say, hey, look, we are all against abortion, but we're also against murdering people. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So those are not the methods of Christians. Christian method is by uttering the incantations of the Lord, by making requests to our God. Why did I talk all this talk that I've been talking for the last two, at least the two sessions, is to help your hearts to be stirred up to real prayer. There's too much joke, too much, you know, clowning going on. And those things don't help. You can't just overlook them as if there's nothing. Can you imagine that I hardly watch Christian television these days? I think that is bad. And I love the Word of God. Yes, on that TV. Decided again. And that's what comes to my mind. There are a few preachers I look out for. Once I put on some channels, you know, like TBN, if there are men I see. This one is not. There are no more than five. After that, once I just check the channel, I just switch them. I really go through the few channels on Christian TV. Because some are teaching nutrition, some are teaching business methods, some are teaching, you know, of course, weight loss, you know, those kind of things. It's not bad, it's not good, it's not just not Christian. Yeah, that's not my point. I can watch that one on Food Network. There's a Food Network next door. But you know, I'm trying to explain something. With my love for the Word of God, I can't even. It's hard for me to sit down and watch Christian channel. Something's wrong there. Something's wrong. And every object continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line until an eternal prayer. Are you getting my point? External incantations, external power of God, are you getting my point? Acting upon it compels it to do otherwise. We are closing now. But don't forget this. This is the reason I've been speaking about this. And when you wake up in the morning, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. Pray for what? The peace of Jerusalem. You know what that means now? You know what that means? It's simple. God said, I will give you pastors after my heart who will feed you with knowledge and feed you with understanding. It's a simple prayer. Lord, I ask for the body of Christ first in Nigeria, then the rest of the world. Feed us with, give us pastors, ministers after your own heart who will feed us with knowledge, truth, with understanding. We want to know righteousness, not emergency breakthrough. Breakthrough is already our portion. Let me say, breakthrough is already your portion.
Amen.
If somebody says, so is it for breakthrough, tell the person that Pastor Banky said it's not necessary. I can say that loud, though. I don't mean that's a joke. I can sow a seed for what I don't have. That one is already mine. It's already mine. Today you're going to give a seed and you're going to say the ancestral curses we break by this seed. Tell them it's a lie. If I'm giving that seed, I'm acknowledging that it's not broken. And that's a lie. It's a lie. How can I sit down here and you tell me that the sins of the ancestors, they are still upon my head? What happened to Jesus Christ? He missed one part of the cross? Is that the part of the cross I believed in? That's the area they forgot to nail him to. I mean, that's not true. So he said, listen, I am not trying to make something happen that has already happened. That's the point I'm making. You are already delivered.
Amen.
Why don't I feel so? Because you did not believe it. You know, you can get back home, assuming that you really have a demonic oppression. You understand my point? You now bring the mirror and say, sit down. Demon, come. I found out that you're not supposed to be here. You know, the guy will just say, I'm sorry. I'm not joking. I may be saying it like a joke, but I mean it literally. Just now I say, oh boy, you have been oppressing me all this while. Why? You say, for times you not like him, now, say, would they play? No, I'm serious. The guy will park, because when you're talking like that, he realizes you understand something. He knows. What am I saying? So forget waking up in the morning, worrying about your future, worrying about your destiny, worrying about your life. Take no thought for tomorrow. What should you take in quotes thought for? Take thought in quotes now for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what I'm asking you for. You wake up in the morning and say a word of prayer. This nonsense is enough. We have gotten used to it. We're always laughing about it. But it's not funny, actually. A friend of mine, the minister was in my house yesterday, we were talking. He said many people he knows, they wake up in the morning and say they don't have church to go to, and they're not going anywhere. Sunday morning. A friend of mine said he went to church one day and he said the service was nice. But he felt that, look, what you have told me today, this is Lagos Business School stuff. I should have gone to Lagos Business School, not come to church. I don't think we should laugh about it anymore. It's not nice. It's not good. We are selling away the destiny of this nation, of every place where the body of Christ is. If we allow that to happen, that's what we are doing. We are throwing away the destiny, because this is the only hope. What did I call it? If the church is not strengthened with truth, forget it. This nation is in trouble. After the day of judgment, if God, when you see God judge, you will laugh. Like, no, not laugh. You won't laugh. Don't be funny. You marvel. All those that made iniquity thrive in the country, you say, good. The new PDP is in trouble. They're looking for a new PDP. They won't call them. They call Bishop this, Apostle this one, Pastor this. Ah, they're going to come out, all of you. So what do? Flog them. Serious flogging. Why? He said, this was the reason why there was new PDP and old PDP. He said, but we're not members. No. It was a fighting amongst you people that manifested in PDP. You'll be wondering. I hope you understand what I've said today. I hope you understand what I've said. Don't forget, it's a simple prayer. Lord, give us pastors, ministers after your heart, who will feed us with knowledge, who will feed us with understanding, who will feed us with truth. Say, Lord, elevate truth and shut down lies. Look, simple prayers, but this time with insight. Say, any man, it's simple. Who will gather people in the name of Jesus Christ to make them for money? God disgrace him. You know, it's a very simple prayer. Did he say you should kill him? Did he say you should send him to hellfire? What did you just say? Disgrace. It's simple. So that he won't come back again. And Lord, make it a habit. Another one. Say, Lord, make it a habit. Any car bought with money gathered by lying in the name of the Lord, set it on fire. Remove the occupants first, sha. No, it sounds funny, but I mean it literally. So let it burn. Let it burn fast. Let it burn in such a manner that even the metal will be melting. So that men will know that it is not good to defile the truth of God. I'm serious. Anywhere that men gather, supposedly in the name of Christ, but Christ is not being elevated, scatter the place. Break the walls. Break the walls. Let them go somewhere else. Lord, send laborers into your harvest. Lord, there are many men, women in many places. Some of them are inside market. Some of them are working here, working there, who are supposed to be teaching the truth. God, call them out. You know, I'm serious. Call them out. Some people say that. You know, some people, listen to, if you are like that, listen. Some people say, no, I don't want them to think I'm looking for money. what they think. You get to heaven that they say, hey, did you preach what I said you should preach? I said, Lord, you know, let's tell, face it. I didn't want anybody to think I'm looking for money. So they will call it over to that side. What's happening on that side? That's the flogging side. But you didn't lie, but you didn't tell the truth. Are you noticing that? He said, I didn't tell lies, but he also did not tell the truth. What did you do? You buried it. It's called burying of the talent. You kept quiet. So we pray for such people. Say, Lord, drag them from wherever they are hiding, where they have buried their talent. Lord, show them mercy. Those are people that need mercy. Lord, show them mercy. Let them come out. Let them be bold. Let them teach. Let them talk. Let them preach. Fill them with your spirit again. Let it be like fire in their bones. Let them not be able to withhold. Let them speak. It's simple. Listen, now I want to say something. Now, I'm not saying do this because of that. But do you know, if you pray this kind of prayer for a few weeks, what I want to say is not a joke. You will marry faster. You will born children faster. You will get money faster. You'll be promoted faster than if you say all night. Oh, night is the night of my breakthrough. I will break through. So I say, oh God, that is not a problem. Breaking you through is not a problem. I have more problems to solve. But when you begin to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, all other things shall be added. Let's take it for granted. They are added. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you've learned something this evening. Please, I beg you again, don't forget to pray for what? The peace of Jerusalem. Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Surely God's goodness will go with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
His mercy will not depart from you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We declare peace upon Jerusalem in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We say this nation will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
First of all, the church will be full to overflowing.
Amen.
This is the fountain. This is the source from where the world will be filled. That place must be full itself. Therefore, we declare that this church, this Jerusalem, will be full of the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you go home, it shall be well with you.
Amen.
As you lie down this night, your sleep will be sweet.
Amen.
The Bible says he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. Therefore, I command promotion for you while you sleep in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren. It's well with you.